really can do that. And that takes away the power and helps people to begin open their minds to exploring just different ways of organizing their lives and organizing their economies. And I think we're going to get back to a more localized, more in touch with nature system, and that will allow us to be more in touch with what really counts in life, which isn't material accumulation of wealth and possessions.
So I find it somewhat fitting that it is the Occupy Portland Elder Caucus that is trying to pursue and recapture some wisdom, some cultural wisdom that we can utilize and live by in order to, like you said, avoid some of the spin that we're given and some of these cultural assumptions that we live under that simply are not good long-term practices. So again, that's going to be this coming Thursday at 7 p.m. at the Multnomah Friends Meeting House. That's at 4312 Southeast Stark. I've been speaking with Dave Gardner. He's the producer of the documentary Growth Busters, Hooked on Growth, How Do We Become a Sustainable Civilization? And when you've been going through the process that you've been going through and your own wisdom about this issue has evolved, Dave, what's kind of been some of the things that have really sort of maybe taken you aback?
I think the biggest surprise for me was to discover at some point along the way that my mission in life wasn't to convince the world to stop growing the human project on the planet. What I discovered was that Earth is coming to a stop. We're living through the end of economic growth and the beginning of the end of population growth. Mother Nature, the planet is pushing back and isn't going to allow us to continue on the path that we temporarily took for the last 200 years. So what I'm really hoping is that I can help people come to embrace the end of growth. We don't need to stop the growth. We need to embrace the end of growth because growth is ending. And it'll just be a whole lot more elegant if we stop wasting time and resources trying to restore growth.
Wow, that is a powerful statement that things are moving forward of their own accord and sort of liberating, actually, that we don't need to stop what's happening. We need to prepare for the next stages. I have a friend of KBOO, Brian Wilson, who likes to say that we're entering into the age of consequences. And I think you can appreciate what he means by that.
It gives you a little hope, I think.
Yeah. Okay, so once again, I've been speaking with Dave Gardner. He's the producer of the documentary Growth Busters, Hooked on Growth, How Do We Become a Sustainable Civilization? You can attend a screening of that documentary this Thursday at 7 p.m. at the Multnomah Friends Meeting House. That's at 4312 Southeast Stark. It's put on by Occupy Portland Elder Caucus. We hope to see you there. And thanks for your time, Dave.
Pleasure.
Prison Pipeline is a radio program dedicated to educating the public about the Oregon criminal justice system. Topics include incarceration and reentry, addictions and mental health, elections and laws, victims' rights, and criminal justice reform. The program presents a unique understanding of the criminal justice system, addresses the root causes of crime, and challenges the status quo. It seeks to promote awareness and activism in order to foster a safer, healthier, and more just society.
Prison Pipeline airs on Monday evenings from 6:30 to 7 p.m. on KBOO Portland. Check us out every week. If you miss an episode, you can stream it later. Just go to kboo.fm/prisonpipeline. More info about upcoming shows and events related to the prison community can be found on our Facebook page, Prison Pipeline. Be sure to like us.
KBOO is seeking a station manager to lead our dynamic 45-year-old non-commercial radio station. Ideal candidates will have nonprofit management experience, the ability to thrive and work collaboratively in a decentralized organization, and the ability to delegate, plan, and organize people to meet goals and objectives. If this interests you, please go to kboo.fm/stationmanagerhire2013.
This KBOO program is made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees, Oregon Council 75.
representing over 25,000 Oregon public and private sector employees, families, and communities, protecting worker rights and fighting to improve the wages and working conditions of members since 1942. More information at www.OregonAFSCME.com.
To you, the 9-to-5-er, just making your way home. To you, the all-night driver, out in your cab alone. To you, waiting for lunch break, as the minutes drag so slow. Take courage, turn the volume up, it's Labor Radio.
Good evening, fans. This is Tina Turner-Morfitt. I am the president of the Coalition of Black Trade Unionists. So I'd like to thank you for joining us for this half hour. I am also a member of the American Federation of State, County, Municipal Employees. I'm one of your hosts tonight.
And good evening, Tina. I'm Audrey Terrell, retired international staff of the United Auto Workers in Detroit. Currently, I am president of the Portland NAACP. And to this evening, we have our first vice president of the NAACP, Tony Funches. Good evening, Tony.
Good evening, Tina. Good evening, Audrey.
So tonight, we, as Audrey said, we have Tony here with us. And before we interview Tony, what we're going to do is we're going to listen to an audio. We're going to listen to an audio of the Martin Luther King celebration that was held here in Portland. And Tony was one of the guest speakers.
Yes, he was very impressive. And so this was August the 24th of this year. We here in Portland commemorated the March on Washington, and he was one of the keynote speakers.
And so what we'd like to do is to listen to the audio, and then we're going to kind of talk to Tony about what it felt like in order to be in front of that great crowd. And being a native Oregonian, we'd like some little more input from him about what was happening that day.
Today I stand in this very esteemed position. I stand not alone, but in the shadows of a great many champions who have helped pave the way that my voice may be heard. Today I use my liberated voice to speak to you with compassion, concern, and with a challenge. Today, along with many other social justice advocates, we have marched for freedom, we have marched for justice, we have marched for equity and equality. Today we declare with the rest of the nation that these issues of injustice, 50 years later, after the first march, are still prevalent and require our attention. 50 years ago, a dream was declared that our nation would grow, heal, and change into a better place for all mankind. While we have made some strides along the way, we definitely still have a long way to go. So my question today is, how long must the black man dream to be free from oppression? How long must women dream to be seen as equal? How long must our friends in the LGBTQ community dream to be able to freely love? How long must Americans dream of affordable health care? How long must Americans dream for equal access? How long must we dream for jobs? How long will we remain asleep to the fact that injustice anywhere is injustice everywhere? And wake up to the fact that we must become that beloved community that Dr. Martin Luther King spoke of, where we strive together for the freedoms and equalities that this lying country has promised us. Our challenge today is to question the morality of drones being dropped on people of color in a foreign nation. Our question today is to challenge an imaginary border against the people who never crossed the border but have been double-crossed by the border. American criminal justice system. Our challenge today is to dismantle discriminatory laws and practices that have allowed it to be open season on young children of color
education, locked out of opportunities to employment, victimized and murdered in the streets of America. Our challenge today is to ensure that the right to vote be heard, be protected, and fought for where needed. We must challenge the question and change the unjust. We can no longer dream of a better tomorrow. We must awaken our consciousness, awaken our convictions, and awaken our commitment to creating a better today. The time for dreaming is over. This nightmare we've been living is over. Our tomorrow begins today. Wake up!
As president of the NAACP, I was just, the speech was so exhilarating, so proud, so honored to be in the presence. In fact, out of all of the speeches, Tony received the standing ovation. Everyone was on their feet. He touched on so many points, waking us up into the reality. And so, Tony, I am so glad to have you here. I am so very proud to have you as the first vice president. As I look at you, I think of now I can go sit down and know that the not only the NAACP, but the community, the Portland community, the state, the nation, is still a voice. We were listening to you. Everyone has spoken so well of your speech, but we have you here today. We want to talk a little bit more about it. So my first question to you, and you can reiterate in whatever capacity or whatever way you want. As president of the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People, what does that really mean to you?
Well, I have to look to the history of the organization. The organization started over 100 years ago by abolitionists who believed that the plight of African Americans, of black folks, of colored people, was so great that they needed to pool their resources. And they joined together and they invited other activists such as W.E.B. Du Bois. And they came together and they formed this organization, this diverse organization, to meet the needs of the community. When I say my community, I speak directly to the black community, but I believe that the NAACP, when it says community, it speaks to the wider community of those suffering from injustices here in America. I do believe that their focus is directed at the black community. It is directed at people of color. But I do believe that in time, there are greater issues, as mentioned in my speech, that the NAACP must have a voice in. And I believe that the time has come that we no longer just sit at the black table, but we sit at the community table, where there are Latinos and where there are felons and where there are people from the LGBTQ community and where there are teachers and where there are broke folks and homeless folks. Community today is the combination of all of us that have the common goal of advancement for the rights of people. And I believe that's what the NAACP in this present day is focused on.
I'm so glad that you brought that advancement, because it touches all in so many categories. Another question, you were in your speech, you were talking about the challenges that we face today. And you're a young man. Trust me, you're a young man.
Thank you.
And I'm so proud of that you're speaking up and involved in so many various community organizations throughout this community. Could you tell me a little bit more of some of those organizations that you're affiliated with?
Absolutely. I sit here today as first vice president of the NAACP Portland chapter, Unit 1120. But I also am executive chair member for the Urban League Young Professionals, where I handle civic engagement. It's an awesome young group of civically minded, engaged young folks who are professionals, who are advancing and committed to the work of making our community a greater place. I also am a conference representative for Partnership for Safety and Justice. It's an organization here in the city of Portland, well, actually throughout the state, that has a holistic approach to public safety, where we work directly with crime victims, crime survivors, and those who have been accused and prosecuted for the crimes, as well as their families. We don't take just a singular approach to that issue. We see it, and we try to address it from all the areas, because all are impacted by it. I am a graduate from Portland Community College, where I helped start the Passage Program for Black Men, a PSU diversity scholar. I just believe in being engaged in my community and trying to make an impact. When I woke up that morning to give that speech, it was just no different than any other morning. My desire is the same, to impact lives and change the world. But that morning, I had to ask myself, did Dr. King ask himself, what could I say in this short frame of time to accomplish that goal? And I believe that I was able to do that. So okay. Thank you for that question.
So you're listening to the Continuum of Labor Radio. This is the Coalition of Black Trade Unionists, and my name is Tina Turner Morfin. As you've heard, we have a special guest tonight. His name is Tony Funches. So, Tony, the question I have for you, it's my impression that you've grown up here in the Portland area. What exactly did it feel like to be a native Oregonian, to be able to address such a crowd that day?
Tina, that is a great question. I was overwhelmed. I feel like I'm a son of this city. I've grown up here. My family has grown up here. I grew up in the church. I've had the awesome opportunity to be raised under great spiritual leadership, to be involved in various academic programs throughout the city, have familiarity in various arenas here in the city. So it was somewhat of a natural positioning for me, but it was so amazing to stand there in that place, in that moment, for that purpose, to speak to that audience, that congregation, that membership, that following, that showed up with the common mind that they wanted to see something different. And I just hope that I was able to give them something different to promote and to awaken them for the next phase of what the civil rights movement is.
Sure. Well, you know, funny you should mention that word awaken, because that's probably, it's one of the tenets of the Coalition of Black Trade Unionists, is we're trying to engage the community, because we know that they have needs out there. And so that's part of our goal, is to do that. Can you give me some idea of how you go about engaging young folks today? Because, again, some people believe that young folks are detached from the reality of what's going on in the world today.
That's a very interesting thought. I sat down with my oldest son and began to quiz him on the things that I believed to be relevant to the furtherance of the cause. If he was aware of the Civil Rights Act, if he was aware of the Voter Suppression Act, if he was aware of the things that had just gone on in the Supreme Court, if he knew why we were marching, if any of these things resonated with him, and he actually blew me away with his conversation. He was like, oh, Dad, we talk about this kind of stuff all the time. And then...
How old is your son?
He's a teenager.
Okay.
And then he shared with me things that I wasn't even aware of that were relevant things that we should be concerned about. So it encouraged me to know that not only are they aware of the historical things, but they have a keen understanding of present issues, that they're tied in and plugged in a way that we never really were, because they have the advent of social media. They're discussing it, they're tweeting it, they're Snapchatting it, they're Instagramming it. The things that are going on, that are happening right now, it's real and relevant for them, and they're communicating it in the vices and in the venues and using the mediums that is familiar to them. And yes, that may be unfamiliar and uncomfortable for us, but that does not mean they're disengaged. They're engaged in a way and with a capacity that actually has a potential to far further reach than we ever did with our marches, with our flyers, our sit-ins, and so forth. They have this new globalized community that they have an ability to impact. So young folks today, I think that they are engaged. I think the problem is, and I don't have a problem saying it, is it's us older folks who refuse to listen to them, who want to put limits on their ability to communicate and effectively communicate. Their dialogue, their vernacular sometimes can be challenging and uncomfortable for us. But at the end of the day, they are engaged and they have something valuable to say. And so sometimes it takes for us to shut up and move out of the way and let them speak.
Let me just add, as president of the NAACP here in Portland, that when we attended the state conference, Tony, you attended, your son attended, and several others, and they were so impressed because you're a positive role model
for him.
And I just want to say that to you openly, that they were so impressed in the comments that your son made, that he was elected the first vice president of the Alaska, Oregon, and Washington Youth Group. And that in itself is a compliment to you.
Thank you.
He's observing, he's watching, he watched you and heard your speech. He was there. And so it's putting in a direction for our young adults that you need to speak up, you need to say something, and something must be done. So I certainly appreciate his visibility and his support within the unit 1120. We have a youth group that we're reaching out to, and we're trying to expand because we're excited about, not only do we want to leave something for them, because they are watching every move we make, whether it is we are challenging some issues, whether we are standing forth, sitting on committees, having a voice in the decisions, not only that affect our lives, but really actually affect their lives. So I'm elated with you being a role model, a visible role model in his life, that so much so that he too wants to take a position with the NAACP youth group and will encourage others to be a part. I got a chance to meet him, to talk with him a couple weeks ago when they were it was in a meeting at the school that he attends.
Jefferson.
And I could just see his forwardness, his ability to speak out when others weren't saying anything. So what you do, I'm very honest with you, what you do, our children are watching, especially teenagers, even the middle school kids, they are watching. So it even goes back, so you standing up, speaking about your speech, about the challenges that we need to do, we need to wake up and make a move, that's telling them. Don't let just things happen. You've got to be a part of the solutions and the results of what's happening in our community, not only in our Portland, Oregon community, but also in the state and in the nation.
Thank you. I think that's very important. I've always believed in empowering young folks to have a voice. I think it's important that they know that they can speak their truths. And the difficult part for us is to understand that they're not trying to be disrespectful. And that's what he keeps telling me when we bump head. He's like, I'm not trying to be disrespectful. I'm trying to get my point across. And as adults, we just have to learn to say, okay, he has something valuable. They have something valuable to say. Let me set aside who I am and hear what they have to input. Because I think that they have some thoughts on how to resolve some of these challenges and some of these issues that we're facing that would blow our mind. And that would actually be more applicable because it's their generation. It's their future. It's their nation. And I don't think we can really shape it or craft it for them. We must include them so that way it is the beloved community, not old, not young, but a marriage of those cross generations.
I want to put you on the spot. I want to say that in this past year that you have presided as first vice president, it has just been so remarkable. You're God sent. I just want to say, where do you see in the 2014 some of the areas that the NAACP, in conjunction with the CBTU, what direction we should be going? There's so much going on. We can't sit back and afford to just twiddle our thumbs and nod our heads. We should come together as partnership. But what do you say? What direction, not only as the NAACP, as one entity, but as coalesce with the CBTU and what direction we should take in 2014?
I really appreciate that question, Madam President. I was just thinking the other day, the challenge that we have is that we don't have a unified front. We're all approaching these issues in our fragmented, segmented capacities, and so therefore our impact is really fragmented and segmented. But I think if we got together and coalesced, I love when you use that word, if we coalesced around key issues about equality and freedom and justice, I think we would see a greater impact and a transformation in our society. Specifically, I think, and these are my thoughts because the question was presented to me, I believe that we have to begin to have a greater focus on the immigration rights. I think that, especially here in our state, I think it's essential that they have driver's license. I think that everyone who has a driver's license is an accountable individual. A driver's license is a pass to employment. It's a pass to identification. It helps people be contributing members to society in a safe capacity. So to deny members of our community access to the tools and the resources to contribute effectively and productively to our community is completely ridiculous to me. I think that we should be looking to be in support of marriage equality. I think when you deny the rights to people to love and make choices in their personal lives, you hinder personal development and growth. Regardless of the additional factors that are implicated there, it is just simply, I believe, in promoting people's development. And when you hinder that in any capacity, when you oppress that in any capacity, you are damaging the human, you are damaging the human spirit, you are damaging our ability as a community to move forward. Mm-hmm. So anything that is a barrier to that progression, I think we need to be addressing.
Mm-hmm. I also just wanted to reiterate that 2014 will bring on some city elections. And we know that people that are in positions of power or decision-making positions are extremely important. And I certainly hope that the things we plan to do, strategically plan with the NAACP, that we can hear the voices of those who are running for leadership positions. So I just want to add that in there, too. We're going to bring your energy and your foresight and your motivation, your encouragement, not only for the NAACP, but the community as a whole, organizations as a whole, that we can bring these issues to the forefront to make us aware of everything that's happening, that we can make a positive presence in our community.
And as you speak about the elections coming up, the things that we need to hold them accountable to is our schools, our education, our public safety system. I mean, our nation spends $63.4 billion to incarcerate people, most of whom are coming home. I think we need to have programs established for them to come home, work programs so that they can develop a trade and be employable and be contributing members to our society. I think we need to be looking at how to reduce the unemployment rate, especially for young folks. When we reduce the unemployment rate for young folks and employ them and put them to work, then we get them off of the streets and we reduce gang violence. We reduce the safety concerns that we have throughout our city. I think there's a lot of things that we can really be focused on. And I think that as a community, we now need to utilize our voting voices and power. As we see the nation try to strip them, we need to be focused at using what is left, picking up the phone, calling organizations that are active in these areas, and calling our elected officials. Mm-hmm. And yes, being on their telephone and being in their offices. Yes, Salem is not around the corner, but you know what? You get 5, 6, 7, 10, 20 people together and go to Salem and sit in your elected official's office until they hear from you. That is how we make the change that we need to do. And that is the engagement piece. We can no longer sit on the sidelines. We can no longer sit and complain. We can no longer show up on Sunday morning and pray that there will be a change and wait for January to dream about it. We must be awake and active today in making the change that we want.
Totally agree. I'd just like to add before we conclude that some information how people can get in contact with the NAACP. We are going to the website, NAACP.org, Nation Builder. We've on the website, there are some activities that we've been involved in with that's very impressive. So for those that are interested in being a part of the NAACP, we meet once a month on the fourth Saturday of each month. and just go into our website, and you can find some more information and contact us. And we certainly appreciate your visibility and participation. Thank you so much, Tony.
Thank you, Audrey. Thank you, Tina, for having me.
Wow. To coin the hunger phrase, the Hunger Games, you are definitely a man on fire.
Thank you.
I would like to thank you for being a part of our show tonight. And again, part of the tenets of the Coalition of Black Trade Unionists is to do those community outreach. And you are definitely a treasure trove.
Thank you.
And so again, thank you very much. Well, I'd like to thank you for listening tonight. As Audrey has indicated, you can get a hold of the NAACP and figure out exactly what's on their plate for 2014 by looking at their website.
Nation Builders, through Nation Builders. You'll see some activities we've done this year and some of the plans we have for 2014. And encourage your support.
So I want to give you a shout out for next month's show. We are going to be focusing on the Affordable Care Act and exactly what it means to you. And so, again, I want to thank you very much for joining us tonight for the Labor Continuum, for representing the Coalition of Black Trade Unionists. Thank you very much, and have a good evening.
Thank you. Good night.
Good night.
To you, the 9-to-5-er, just making your way home. To you, the all-night driver, out in your cab alone. To you, waiting for lunch break, as the minutes drag so slow. Take courage, turn the volume up, it's Labor Radio.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to co-sponsor a salsa dance party to celebrate 17 years of the Community Alliance of Tenants, the only statewide grassroots tenants rights organization. December 6th, from 6:30 to 9:30 p.m., this party will include a light dinner buffet, short program, and salsa lesson. It will take place at the Grand Cafe at 832 Southeast Grand Avenue in Portland, Oregon. Again, that's the Community Alliance of Tenants Salsa Party, December 6th, from 6:30 to 9:30 p.m. at the Grand Cafe. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right-hand side of the homepage under Community Events.
Prison Pipeline presents a unique perspective of the criminal justice system, addressing the root causes of crime and broadening understanding of the institution of incarceration.
Baby, you understand me now. If sometimes you see that I'm mad, don't you know no one alive can all